This morning, we are going to talk about, or let me say, the lesson was inspired by some of what's going on with some of the hurricanes and all that kind of stuff. So this morning, I want to ask you this question: is your house still standing? And I'll begin like this. Approximately 6 million people were ordered to evacuate the state of Florida to escape the eventual and inevitable impact of Hurricane Irma. Because of what happened with Hurricane Harvey in Texas, it was nearly impossible for anyone not to take the threat serious. So my family and I, we hit the road as soon as we could, and we avoided as much traffic as we could. And we praised God that we made it to our destination safe and sound. My grandmother met us with compassion. She embraced her grandchildren with love. And she sympathized with our circumstance because for the first time in our lives, we were evacuees. We got there on a Friday evening. And it wasn't too long before we began to wonder, what's going on back home? We wanted to know what was going on with our family and with our friends and with our neighbors. So we called and we checked on them. But as the days passed by, we began to desperately want to know, is our house still standing? You see, we wanted to know if our house was still standing because if our house was still standing, we were hoping there was power still in our house. And if our house was still standing, and if there was power in our house, then we have no problem knowing if the lights were on in our house. So this morning, I want to ask you the question again, is your house still standing? And not only is your house still standing, is there power in your house? Because if your house is still standing, and if there's power in your house, then I have to ask you, are the lights on in your house? These hurricanes are to teach us that we are powerless in the face of the storm. The same goes when we face the storms of life. We need a foundation that is strong enough to handle the storms that will come in our lives. So I'll ask you again, is your house still standing? We'll be in Matthew chapter 7 this morning. My thesis to you, if your house is built on a firm foundation, you can rest assured. Somebody wrote a hymn and it said, he's sweet, I know. He is sweet, I know. Somebody said, the storm clouds may rise and the strong winds may blow. But I'll tell the world everywhere I go that I found a savior and he is sweet, I know. Is your house still standing this morning? In verses 24 through 27, Jesus says out of his own mouth, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And it says that the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it says, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he says, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. He said, and it fell. And not only did it fall, he said, and great was its fall. So from these verses, we'll make a few points. Point number one, we see this clearly. Everyone is going to hear something. Jesus says, whoever hears, and everyone who hears these sayings of mine. Now, as was mentioned, we have 7 children. And 2 of them being teenagers, we're going through this process with them, especially going through middle school. We had to educate them when they started to perspire a little bit. They begin to get into some puberty situations, right? Now, Now, you want to teach your children about personal hygiene the best you can, but, you know, they think they know everything. Now, when you tell your child that, you know what, you need to start putting on deodorant every day. And when you brush your teeth, you need to brush your tongue also. They don't listen to you. But when they go to school and somebody else tells them, you know, you smell. Now they put on deodorant every day and they brush their teeth every day and brush their tongue. Do you understand that many times that's exactly how we act with the Lord? The Lord tells us something, but we don't take him at his word. But then when somebody else rebukes us and reminds us, you know what, aren't you a Christian? Why you gossip just like? Then we wake up and realize, oh, the Lord had told me that. In Romans chapter 10, verses 15 through 18, the Apostle Paul writes and says, he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. But in verse 16, he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. And he says, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? But in verse 17, he says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then in verse 18, he says, but I say, have they not heard? But then he answers his own question. He says, yes, indeed. He says, their sound has gone out into all the earth and their words to the end of the world. People act like they haven't heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. People act like they haven't seen the righteousness of God's people either in the home or in the workplace or in the community or in the places where we come in contact with people. But people have heard the gospel. They've seen the gospel of Jesus Christ in our lives. But he says, everyone who hears these sayings of mine. But understand what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. He says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Why? He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. He said, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. He said, and they'll be turned aside to fables. Everybody's going to hear something. Paul says in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches to you any other gospel than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Everybody is going to hear something. So Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine. Have you heard the sayings of Jesus? I imagine that everyone in here who has obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you had to hear the sayings of Christ to obey. He says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't heard or wanted to hear the word of God. So in Matthew chapter 5, the Lord says to us in verse 11, he says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You heard Jesus say that. You heard Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But then he said, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? And he says, it is good for nothing but to be cast out and trampled underfoot by men. You heard Jesus tell you that you are the salt of the earth. And he said, do not lose your flavor. And you heard Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, he said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp and set it under a basket, but they set it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Then he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You heard what Jesus said about you being the light of the world. So essentially, he's saying that you are the difference maker. If you are salt, you got to come in contact with people, and you're going to rub off on them, and you're going to preserve them. But if you're light, even from a distance, someone can see you and find the Lord. You are the difference maker, whether you are near or far. You're the difference maker. And because you are the difference maker, he gave us some more advice in Matthew chapter 6. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus also told us, be careful about this thing we call treasures. Don't attempt to lay it up for yourselves on earth. The Lord doesn't mind us being blessed. Obviously, he doesn't mind us being blessed because he does all the blessing. But he said, don't treasure that stuff on earth. Don't hold that in your heart. Don't covet those things. But he also says something about riches. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, go with me. He says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon being wealth or riches. He said you cannot serve both of them. Remember, he said these are the sayings of Jesus. Not some young hotshot preacher standing in front of you just wanting to talk today. These are the sayings of Jesus. He said, be careful about treasures, be careful about riches. But then he said, be careful about worrying. In Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 25. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" And we know that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So we don't have to worry about these things, how so many people are. They're destroying themselves in the process of seeking and gaining. And somewhere he talked about how the cares of the world choke the word of God out of them because they were more concerned about getting something than they were with serving the Lord. And so the Lord said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. Now understand, the second point is that everyone is going to do something. Notice he says everybody's going to hear something, but someone is going to do it, and someone is not going to do it, right? Someone will and someone won't. Someone will have faith and someone won't. Who is it? Shakespeare said, to be or not to be. Somebody is and somebody isn't. He said, someone is going to do it. They're not just going to hear the words. In James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, James says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, he says, this one will be blessed in what he does. He says he doesn't want us to just hear the word and not do it. He says, hear it and do it. So in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And he says, and lo, I will be with you. Notice that. And teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. Then he says, and lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. He said, go, baptize Jacksonville in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptize your neighbor, baptize your coworker, baptize your friends, baptize your family members, baptize your loved ones. But you make sure that you continue in the Lord's word. But he also adds in Matthew chapter 25, and you see in verses 31 through 46, the Lord said when he returns and sits on his throne with his mighty angels, he says he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep are going to be on his right hand, and he's going to welcome them into the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world, right? And then he said to them, because when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was a stranger, you took me in. When I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. So he's telling us, you got to be about the Lord's work, and you got to help provide for people when they have particular needs, if you can help provide. And he says, especially because you did it to the least of these, my brethren. He said, you have done it unto me. So you're looking at me kind of confused. Let me help illustrate the point like this. So I told you about these older boys. Now, 2 years ago, both of these boys were in middle school. So I had to take them, I dropped them off to school together. So I put the alarm clock in the oldest boy's room. And I said, the alarm clock is in your room. You need to wake up your brother when you get up in the morning. So the alarm clock is in your room. You wake your brother up, because I don't got time to play around. We got to get both of you to the same place at the same time. So be up and be ready. So one morning I get up, I go down the hallway. Now the rooms are separated just like this. His room is on the right side and his brother's room is on the left side. Now I'm walking down the hallway. The room on the right side, the light is on. But the room on the left side, the light is not on. I think you see, you already know what's happening. Now I walk into the room with my oldest boy with the light on, and he's sitting on his bed and he's reading a book. He's fully dressed though. He's fully dressed. But he's sitting on the bed and he's reading a book. But in the other room, the boy is, the lights are off in the room, and the boy is still snoring in the other room. And so I had to ask, I say, why didn't you wake up your brother? And he said, man, don't you know we got to be to school? I'm saying all this, but I think you understand what I'm talking about this morning. The Lord put the alarm clock in our room. You see, the lights are on in our room. And we're fully dressed. But we're just reading the book. And the Lord is asking us the same. Why didn't you wake up your brother? He says, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them. We can't just read the book. We can't just read the book. It does no good, because, son, I ask you to wake your brother. We're going to the same destination. I'm not going to leave with just you and not your brother. I need you to wake your brother up so we can all get to the same destination on time. Have you woken up your brother? Is your brother awake? He says, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them. Then he says he's going to liken us to something, either a wise man or a foolish man. As human beings blessed with God-given talents and abilities, we pride ourselves on our ability to build, to get wealth, to sway the masses, and to bring about perceived change. We build like those who desire to build the Tower of Babel, that which appears to be approved of God with the motive of making a name for ourselves, only to the disapproval of God, who confuses our language and sends the storms in our lives. If we believe that the good that we do apart from obedience to God and his word will justify us in the sight of a just God, we are deceiving ourselves. For the Lord says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Proverbs 15:8. The Lord says, I want you to hear what I say, then I want you to do what I say, and when you do what I say, I'm going to liken you to something. He said, I'm going to liken you to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, beginning at verse 6, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither the one who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God is, he gives the increase. He says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. But then he says this in verse 10. He says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. He says, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. And then he says, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. Are you a wise master builder this morning? Because the Lord said he is going to liken us to a wise builder or a foolish builder. Why is that question important? Because finally he says everyone's work is going to be tested. He said the rains descended. Picture this. Now he said the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Do you understand what he's saying? He said the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on this house, on that 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 house, on every house. He said he's going to beat on every house. And it's not to be mean, but the Lord wants to see and know whose house is built on the rock. Whose house is built on the rock? Job survived his storm because his house was built on the rock. David survived his storm because his house was built on the rock. Rahab escaped death and saved her whole family because her house was built on the rock. Ruth left the pagan land and came to the promised land because she wanted her house to be built on the rock. Paul was transformed from a mercenary against God to a missionary for God because his house was built on the rock. Is your house built on the rock? You're saying to me, what is the rock? You keep repeating yourself, but you're not making your point clear. My brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ." Is your house built on the rock? Is your house still standing? Is there power in your house? And are the lights on in your house? In Psalm 127, the psalmist says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." And then he says, "Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." And then he says, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." His beloved sleep. And so the Lord wants to give us rest, as you can see. But if you have children, small children especially, how do your children, I know how my children react when I tell them it's time to take a nap. How do your children react? Now, I've yet to see a 2 or 3 year old say, when you say it's time to take a nap, they just happily go and jump in the bed and say, I'm ready to take a nap. Most of us would agree when you tell them it's time to get some rest, they kick, they scream, they fight, they whine, they moan because they don't want to take a nap. But you and I both know that if your child doesn't take a nap or get some rest, they're going to become restless. And if your children become restless, they're going to get burnt out. So you, being the wise parent that you are, you got to take a nap. And you can tell in their behaviors when it's time to take a nap. They're fighting among each other and they're pushing in there. They're just crying and they're just restless. But we're no different. And the Lord has called all of us to his rest. But there may be some even here who are fighting and kicking and screaming and rebelling against the Lord's rest. And he's telling you that you are restless and you are going to burn yourself out if you don't get some rest. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." He says, "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. So this morning I ask you the question, is your house still standing? I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that it is. But this morning, if you have built your house on the sand and you recognize that the rains have descended upon that little shack that you built on the sand, and the floods have come and totally destroyed that little hut that you built on the sand, and the winds have blown and beaten that foundation and completely destroyed it, he said, "Listen, it's not wise for you to attempt to rebuild a house that's been destroyed on sand again if the Lord has already destroyed it the first time." And me and Brother Dawson were talking about this last night. If your house, if the wind requirements for a home, for the windows, were to sustain winds up to 60 miles per hour, and a storm comes through and all the windows are destroyed, the homes are, you can't rebuild your home on the same foundation with the same code. You have to build it on a different code. Because the last house you built couldn't even handle winds that were 60 miles per hour. And the winds in some of these hurricanes we've seen were 120, 130, 150 mile per hour winds. You can't build your house on a foundation that can't handle the storms. So the Lord is saying, listen, build your house on the rock. If you're here this morning and you haven't built your house on the rock, you have the opportunity to do so this morning. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 5, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter told those Jews, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. He said, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have faltered and you built your house on the rock, but you abandoned the rock, and you want to return back to that firm foundation, you can do that as well. But blessings and encouragement to those who continue to stand on the rock. God bless you, and the word is yours. Together we stand to sing the song of invitation.